flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Okay, business leaders, are you playing defense or are you on the offense? Are you just, excuse me, hey, I'm trying to talk business here. As I was saying, are you here just to play or are you playing to win? If you're in it to win, meet your next MVP, NetSuite by Oracle. NetSuite is your full business management system in one suite. With NetSuite, you're running your accounting, your financials, HR, e-commerce, and more, all from your online dashboard. One source of truth means every department's working from the same numbers with no data delays. And with AI embedded throughout, you're automating manual tasks, plus getting fast insights for your next move. Whether you're competing on your home turf or looking to conquer international markets, NetSuite helps you get the W. Over 40,000 businesses have already made the move to NetSuite, the number one cloud ERP.
Right now, get the CFO's Guide to AI and Machine Learning at netsuite.com/special. Get this free guide at netsuite.com/special.
Okay, guys.
Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Spiegel and Holmes.
Okay, here we go, sports fans.
Afternoons on the Score.
There goes the runner. Fly ball down the right field line. Tucker comes on. Kyle Tucker. This time they finish the job. The Houston Astros, world champions.
The 3 times that I've pitched in Wrigley, one of it was like an absolute heat wave that came through, and the umpire had an ice towel around his neck, and the other times have been absolutely freezing. But, you know, playing in Minnesota for 5 years, I know how to pitch in the cold, and hitters tend to don't really like to hit in the cold either, so that's also nice. But the summer, you know, up there in Chicago, as you guys know, is unbelievable. And, you know, you get a chance to get out of the Houston heat in the summer, you might want to take it a little bit, I guess. But I'm excited to be up there. I'm excited to meet everybody. I'm excited to see the fans, see what the organization has to offer. And, you know, I've heard nothing but amazing things about it, and, you know, from post and past players. So it's going to be really fun, and I can't wait.
The official adventures of
Spiegel and Holmes, afternoons 2 to 6 on 670 The Score.
We are happy that you are hanging out. It's been a fun show today, and we are glad that you have been a part of it. It's Spiegel and Holmes. We are here with you until 6 o'clock. We spent a little time talking about the Bears today, talking about the expectation level and whether fans should have to wait, how they're going to react if things don't go well immediately.
The possible return of moral victories as a template with which to experience the season and how that would feel as Ben Johnson turns the roster over. It's a good topic by you. Interesting conversation.
We talked with Kurt Warner today as well. Joe Cowley came on and trolled for a little bit. Charles Tillman ate up the 4 o'clock hour, and it was terrific.
Legendary, epic, wonderful stuff with Charles Tillman.
Oh, And by the way, we got stuff for you too. So you should check out the Odyssey app and hit the rewind function on it, because that'll help you listen back to some of the stuff that we had. But also, how would you and three friends like to go to Vegas for the first weekend of the tournament in March?
Let's go.
The Slam Dunk in Vegas National Contest is easy to enter. Just download the Odyssey app, log in, and listen to the score each day for a minimum of 1 hour for your daily entry for a chance to win this unforgettable trip for four, including travel accommodations, $5,000 for each guest for the ultimate viewing experience in Vegas, and much, much more.
That's bananas.
Yeah.
That sounds...
Why didn't we do that?
I don't know.
We should do this.
Sounds really good.
We should make a trip to Vegas during the tournament, maybe.
Okay.
Right, I know a place.
I know a place, too.
Yeah, Circa.
Yeah, let's go there.
Just go there.
I would be down
for
that. All
right, we'll see if we can get something like that done. Ryan Pressly is official. He's so official that he was on the score.
Yeah, he did a Zoom with media and then came on the score. And it's really interesting to hear from the new Cubs closer today. We referenced it yesterday. The relationship with the Astros GM, Dana Brown, had deteriorated terribly. So that's why he ended up in this position where, like, he was willing to waive the no trade clause, but it had to be the right spot and it had to be the right promise. When the Astros signed Josh Hader, Ryan Pressly lost his closer gig. He wanted to be a closer again. Is he going to be the closer in Chicago? But I don't know, because teams oftentimes will just throw a big pile of arms at it. We've been talking about what to do. I thought it was pretty telling what Ryan Presley's answer was to Dan Bernstein in a classic Bernsteinian question that I enjoyed. Ryan Presley's answer told the tale in terms of what the role would be.
What, if any, guarantee did you get about being the guy to get the saves? Or are you knowingly signing up for a very modern approach to high leverage versus low leverage? And that if you are trusted to clearly be an important getter of outs, that those outs may come in the fifth or the sixth or the seventh?
You know, obviously, postseason's completely different, right? It doesn't matter who pitches what role as long as you get 27 outs with a win. That's all that really matters. But leading up to the postseason, you know, I've only talked to Skip one time. You know, I haven't really we haven't really discussed. It was more of an introduction, and I'm sure we're going to get a little bit more into depth whenever we get down to camp. You know, I just, you know, they told me that I was, you know, going to be the ninth inning role, but, you know, in my mindset, I'm going to go into camp competing for that role, because you obviously know everything is not guaranteed in this game. So I just want to have that mindset going in there, just of competing and always competing. So again, in the long run, I just want to help this team win. And, you know, the goal is to not just win the division, but the entire thing. And, you know, the experience that me and Tuck can bring, you know, Dansby's been there as well, winning a World Series with the Braves. So we have some guys on this team that have been there and done it. And I think, you know, just adding more of us to that clubhouse is, you're going to bring that culture there. And once you get that culture established, and it's going to be a hard team to beat.
Why do you have that bemused look on your face?
Because he immediately takes it to the truth of the way that relief pitchers think about this stuff all around the league. Postseason, do what you want. But during the season, I make my contract money
doing that thing that you need.
I am a closer. And when you tell me I'm not a closer in Houston last year for the season, it changes the entire trajectory of my financial career. And because the league is such that it does not value me the same without those save stats. So I thought his answer...
Should a player react that way?
Well, look what he did. He tried. He's a veteran. He tried to deftly make it about team goals and winning. And he is going to sacrifice the ego and sacrifice the stat when it comes time for the postseason. But damn you, during the season, this is a hill that I will die on. It's why you wanted to be traded. It's why the relationship deteriorated in Houston. And it's why he held out and needed the assurance from the Cubs that that's what his role is going to be during the regular season. You could argue with whether that should happen, and you could disagree with the ego, disagree with all of that. But this is the reality of how players think about it in that role in all around MLB.
So overall, I agree with Presley, okay, about that. And you and I have talked about this, and we'll continue to talk about it, because I think it's fascinating when it comes to baseball on the idea of to us, 27, 28, 29, wait, what am I doing? To 25, 26, 27, that's hard to get, okay? I believe in that.
Well, see, what you're talking about, the human aspects, which we love and we'll talk about, he's talking about the financial and business aspects.
I know, and he's well within his rights to talk about that. And I do think there are some people who hear it and go, I don't know if I necessarily like that. The only time I don't like that is, like, you look at the situation with Kimbrel, and you go, you used to be that guy, but for right now, you're not that guy.
Uh-huh.
Or in the situation with him being an eighth inning guy, which I always thought was a mistake.
Hey, man, well, look.
You have to start him as the ninth inning guy.
When they went and got Kimbrel, when David Ross went and caught him, because at the time he was an assistant in the front office, and they got Kimbrel to agree to come, Kimbrel was holding out for the exact same thing. The assurance that he could be a closer while he was clearly already in decline.
And I'm speaking more of the Hendricks-Kimbrel thing over on the south side, where Hendricks seemed, at least publicly, pretty flexible. Like, wherever you're going to put me, I don't care. Like, if I'm the eighth inning guy, I'm the eighth inning guy. I've done that before. I've been the ninth inning guy. Kimbrel clearly needed to be the ninth inning guy. And you saw it for whatever reason. Whenever he went out there in the eighth inning, you had a bad feeling. Mm-hmm. When he was out there in the seventh inning, not that you had a good feeling when he was in the ninth either, but you just kind of knew it wasn't going to work. So I understand both from a contract standpoint and from a human element kind of where he's at on this. I do. I truly do. You just have to be careful because you don't want people thinking that you're not bought in to whatever is necessary today.
Well, but it's good stuff. Here's where it gets even more layered to me. He was bad last year.
Mm-hmm.
By comparison to all those years when he was the closer and he was dominant, all of a sudden last year, what happened? The velocity went down. His pitch mix changed. Things were different last year with the fastball usage. The fastball shape. For instance, the fastball usage, he used it a lot in 2022 with mixed results. He used it a lot less in 2023, got better results. But then last year, all of a sudden, the fastball usage went up. And why the hell was he using the fastball more? And what does this mean for the overall decline? I think the answer in his mind, and I think you might be open to the possibility, is here in his answer to Bernsie about the pitch mix.
Honestly, I think last year I was battling a lot of mechanical stuff, and I'll be the first one to tell you I wasn't really myself. You know, my velo was down, you know, just things weren't really going my way, and it felt like an upstream battle last year whenever I took the mound, and you know, I was really just kind of just throwing everything at the wall and just, you know, hoping something would stick. And you know, whether it be fastball usage going up, slider usage going down, changeup usage going up, you know, I was literally just trying to do anything and everything to put up a zero. And you know, and when you're battling stuff mechanically, it's even harder. So,
is that fixed?
Yeah, you know, so I've been working with Kevin Poppy all offseason. I feel like we've cleaned up about 99% of it. So I'm excited to get down to camp, throw to some hitters, and really see where we're at. And I'm excited to work with Tommy Hotovy and you know, bounce some ideas off him. So I'm excited and seeing what these guys can bring to the table and what I can bring to the table and see what we can create.
So Lawrence, what he's saying is his head got out of whack because he didn't like the role and he felt like he was messed with. And you know baseball, whether you're a hitter or a pitcher, some tiny little thing can get messed up when your head's out of whack and all of a sudden he's desperate, throwing anything he can at the wall, some fastball, whatever. I don't know. I just got to try and get outs. And so we fell apart. So what is mental? What's physical? And definition of role and relationship and a GM being honest with him and all of that, it's complicated, isn't it?
The mind controlling the body. Like, we talk about how powerful the mind is, and we usually say that like in a positive way. Like, oh, we, you know, our minds just haven't expanded to the point of, yeah, of what we could really do with everything that's inside of that gray matter. And most of us deal with some sort of anxiety or depression, and you realize like how powerful it is and how powerful suggestion can be sometimes to you. There's something gets stuck in there and it's like, oh, I'm not good enough to close.
Right. So now,
am I good enough to be here?
Dude, exactly. Exactly. Well, I better give it a little more, and all of a sudden you're off your game.
I'll try something. Uh-huh. And then you're like, oh, that doesn't feel good. Now I can't get back
right
to where I was before.
And his fastball sucked last year compared to other fastballs. It didn't have the carry, didn't have that absence of drop like it did in previous years. All of a sudden it was way flatter. Maybe he was trying too hard. Maybe he was pushing, whatever. Mm. So it's fascinating. So this is a guy who clearly believes that if you tell him he's a closer and give him the job, he's going to be as good as he was as a closer. And that's the gamble the Cubs are taking, too.
I think it's a good gamble, though. When you look at his history and the fact that, I mean, Porter Hodge, fine. I thought did pretty well for himself last year. I think that they've probably told him he's the guy unless he loses it.
I don't think he does. I don't think he waives his no trade clause unless he's been told that.
Yeah.
And that's in his first answer. Well, postseason's different. I've only had one conversation. But no, he wouldn't come here unless he's going to get to close.
You're going to get this opportunity. Don't make a fool out of us for giving you this opportunity.
But he has to dance the dance semantically. There was a moment in the Zoom when he was asked about him and Porter Hodge, who you just brought up, in the back end of the bullpen. He said, I think we're going to be a great 1-2 punch. That's a way to say it without saying he gets the eighth, I get the ninth, or I get the ninth. You don't have to be a bag and say that out loud.
Right.
But you can give a nod to your teammate, your young teammate.
Hey, who is going to push you. If I'm Porter Hodge, I'm not walking into camp next week being like, I'm not the dude. I'm going to go out there and give everything that I have, too.
And at some point during the year, it's going to be Craig Counsell's job to say, we thought this was going to work with you knowing the job, but the truth is Porter's better, and I got to give the job back to Porter. Or not. Maybe he won't have to do that.
It would be great if that wasn't a thing.
But from the get-go, he's the guy. He's the guy. And I just thought, in those two drops, you heard the mindset from the business perspective and the mindset from the struggling player perspective that believes he can find it again.
Wow, Porter Hodge was a 1-3 WAR last year in not a lot of appearances.
No, he found it. He definitely found it.
And it's good for him.
And it's a crazy example of how it can work these days. I mean, I remember when Porter Hodge showed up in the clubhouse, we were like, who's that guy? I did one of those 2-minute interviews before a pregame, like, who are you? I mean, I'd done the research, but it was like, it says your fastball is really weird and it kind of acts different than other fastballs. He's like, that's just my fastball. It's just what it is, you know? Like one of those get to know me things.
Is a Ryan Buckvich moment? What type of pitcher are you? Right-handed. it's one of my favorite drops of all time.
The great Chris Ronji trying to learn what he can.
For a lot of the fans that may not have heard of you or don't know much about Ryan Buckvich, what exactly is it about? What kind of pitcher are you?
Right-handed.
That is helpful to get that kind of information.
Oh, my God.
According to our Bruce Levine, the Cubs are hanging around.
On Bregman. As they should. He's a free agent, and they kind of need a third baseman.
The whole idea was that this trade for the Astros could free up money so they could stay below the tax apron.
And get Bregman back.
But it's not done. It's not done yet.
Okay, so you're a Shaw guy. How would you feel about this as far as Shaw's development if the Cubs can get Bregman?
I would love it. I would love it. If they could sign Bregman, or I wanted him to even like take a flyer on somebody like Moncada.
The Moncada thing is really interesting to me.
But there's all sorts of red flags on Moncada. Well,
of course there are. And yellow shoes.
I would love it. If Bregman came to them and said, you know, I'd like 2 years, $80 million, they would sign that immediately. I think they would sign that right away. But that third year is when it gets sketchy. So that third year when everybody thinks there's going to be a work stoppage is when it gets sketchy.
So you could go 2-1, right?
You could go,
let's go 2-1 a club option.
That's a maybe. 5 is a no.
Oh, no, I'm not doing that because he's, what, 31?
I think that's exactly what he is. But in terms of Matt Shaw, I'd be cool with Matt Shaw being your AAA opening day third baseman, playing a bunch, and then coming up and being depth for you.
He will be 31 as the season starts, March 30th.
As the season starts.
Starts a little earlier for the Cubs, and then they go back to Arizona for a little bit. And then they start the season in Arizona. I think that's what that's their plan, right? Where they go to Japan, then they come back. There's a couple more games and get reacclimated.
Yeah.
But then you stay put, which is exactly what Major League Baseball should do if you can. Like if a team goes over there,
come back and chill for a little bit.
Yeah, you should get to honestly, you should take one from Cactus, one from Grapefruit. And you should start that other team in Florida if you can. But this works out well. And the Dodgers, I would imagine, are starting at home, right?
I don't know.
Let me look. That's the way you would do it to protect them from, you're going to come back from Japan and then you're going to go out on the road. That doesn't seem very fair.
Speaking of the Dodgers, you see the Yankees complained about the Dodgers spending? Hank Steinbrenner,
it's too damn bad.
Said nobody can spend like the Dodgers. So even the Yankees are complaining about the Dodgers reality, Cup fans.
No one wants to hear it from
nobody,
the Yankees.
Nobody does.
No one.
I know. But it is true that the Dodgers are on a completely different playing field.
Yeah. So Major League Baseball did them the solid,
they
too.
Did?
They come back. They have a couple games. And then they're in Los Angeles. Whether it's playing the Angels or at home against the Tigers. So that's well done by MLB to make sure that there's at least a little bit of getting back into rhythm after making that trip.
There's there's an NFL issue that you did not used to have a problem with, but now all of a sudden you do. Not all of a sudden, I should say.
My position has been evolving on this, and now it's gotten to the point where I'm like, yeah, this needs to happen quickly. I've now jumped into a camp, which I believe you are part of. You might even be the scout master at this camp.
We welcome you. There's plenty of room for you on the raft.
As this story has changed, the more I'm like, yeah, we need to get rid of that. We'll explain what it is next on the
story. Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that.
Yep.
No hassle.
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, football fans, it's Andrew Filippone, host of the First and Pod podcast. Join me and my co-host, three-time All-Pro Patrick Peterson, as we break down every game every week. New episodes drop on Monday and Friday mornings. Be sure to subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Score.
Spiegel and Holmes.
Lawrence, I'm glad you got away from Bernstein. Honest to God, what a gift for you to have escaped that nightmare and to now be with Matt. And I hope both of your lives are so much better now than they were before.
Afternoons on the Score.
Yeah, just you want to win these games. As coaches always say.
Okay, so I have made my way over to the group of people who say that that's enough, Tom Brady, of you being the color analyst. I've made it over here.
Having his beak wet in two different spots at the same time?
It's not that. I'm not mad for anyone out here hustling.
He's double-dipping his chip, though.
He is double-dipping his chip. And you know I'm not a proponent of guys with too much dip on their chip.
Seinfeld reference.
Mm-hmm. Better believe it. But
they're killing independent, George.
I didn't have a problem with it.
Seinfeld reference.
As the ownership thing started to come about, when it wasn't official. And then when he got named into the ownership group, I was still kind of like, no, it's not a big deal.
It's only, 5%?
Yeah.
Something like that.
But now that you learn more about what he's doing from day to day, that he is in charge of that thing that they got going on out there. Now I'm not comfortable with it.
See, yeah, what you had this past week and a half is like a doubling down hardcore. With the Raiders thing, it was, oh yeah, Tom's really running the show. And then he said on Coward, like, he's not just back for next year.
He's planning to finish his 10-year contract with Fox.
You were thinking he was going to have to choose one.
I was thinking for sure he would choose the Raiders because what else does a maniac, and I say that in the most loving way, want more than to put his imprint on winning?
And I was thinking he was going to choose TV because what else does a maniac want than to have his ego fed every week on television by a football community he doesn't want to give up the love of?
But see, that's the thing that always kind of convinced me that he was just going to stick with the Raiders, Speaks, because you just know that he's so damn competitive that he wants this thing to work and that he wants to be the reason that it works. So part of the reason that this whole thing works, as the coaching search went on, and Florio was the first one, I think, and really kind of out in the wilderness of ringing that alarm bell of like, hey, this is a ridiculous conflict of interest.
And that's how I felt. That's how I felt. But yeah, Florio was all over. But I certainly felt that way when it came to Ben Johnson. It came to like covering coaches that he's actively wooing.
So that's where I started to move. Once we got to the coaching search, and it became so obvious how dangerous this is. How dangerous it is for the guy who is broadcasting the games to be able to just kind of walk on the field and talk with a Ben Johnson beforehand. Now, luckily for the Bears and other teams, it didn't seem to matter. As much as we thought it might matter and that he might pull a Pat Riley and throw the rings on the table with Ben Johnson, it never got to that point.
Well,
the Bears never allowed it to get to that point.
And fortunately for the Bears, Ben Johnson has taken a trip to see a Cubs series every year for the last decade, wanted to be here, and likes Caleb Williams and sees it all for what it is.
Fortunately, that's the case. Fortunately, that's what was going on. But if Ben Johnson were Ben Johnson, the Royals fan, instead of the Cub fan, or married into a Royals family or a Mariners family, would this have played out differently?
It's a good question.
And it makes me uncomfortable that I have to feel this way about Tom Brady, but I do. And I have come around on Brady as a broadcaster. I still don't think he's as good as the guys he replaced, which we'll get to momentarily.
Uh-huh.
But I understand the value of it. I think he's better suited to be doing studio stuff. And I could actually live with him fulfilling the Fox thing by being a studio guy and an owner. I think I'm okay with that. I'm less okay with him being this close to your quarterback, my quarterback, their quarterback.
Sure.
It just doesn't feel right to me now. I'm now with everyone else. It's like, this is something that should be taken care of.
Plenty of room on the raft. Welcome over. I think you're right. And I totally understand why it took you a little while, because him being exposed as a guy who's really running things in Vegas, as well as a guy who's committed to his decade-long contract, then you realize, oh, this isn't going anywhere. The one thing I want to say is, I think I understand what you're saying about the competitive nature and running a team and having an edge in winning, but don't underestimate the competitive nature as a public person. Who's his main rival?
Peyton Manning.
He references him all the time on broadcast. He talks about him and Peyton. What has Peyton done post-career? Peyton dominates with the Manning cast. He's on everybody's TV on Monday nights, talking to great guests, having fun, as well as all the commercials and the SNL stuff and everything like that. Tom has some, his main competitive rival is killing it in the media game, and he still brings him up all the time. So Tom's competitive juices are, and they're being fed by people not thinking he was going to be good at this.
Yes.
Remember the commercial, which he apparently had a big voice in the production of, with all the different Tom Brady's of the past in his face on the couch telling him, you can't do this. You're not going to be good at this.
And he's fighting with all of them.
Yeah. Yeah. So he's getting something from being good at this, and more power to him. You just should not be able to do both.
There's also the Greg Olsen part of this. And I will admit and be transparent, I am biased. I covered Greg. I like Greg a lot. I think that he is smart. I think he is interesting. I think that he took on the challenge of becoming an analyst, and he has really grown into one of the best, if not the best, analyst of the NFL. And hearing him in the interview that he did with the Charlotte Observer, he sounds heartbroken by this. He sounds heartbroken that he's not calling the Super Bowl this year, that he knows that he got good at the gig and he's not being given a chance. And it's hard to see the quotes from him.
He said it sucks that he did it 2 years ago and isn't getting a chance to do it now.
He said, in my mind, I'm going to call big time games again. I'm going to call Super Bowls again. I just don't know the timeline or the venue. And so he was asked on whether or not, you know, he feels resentment towards Brady. And he said this quote, and like, this is the heartbreaking part of it. I don't think resentment's probably accurate, but I also think it's not too far off, if I'm being honest. I don't have any ill will. There's no personal resentment towards Tom or obviously KB and EA. I still talk to all of them fairly regularly. I'm hoping to see them next week down in New Orleans and grab dinner or a drink or just kind of shoot the bleep and catch up. Like, that man is heartbroken by this.
Those are my guys. God. You know what it reminds me of, frankly? It's when I was vaguely employed, had been removed from a talk show, and like, I couldn't listen to McNeil and Parkins. I couldn't listen to those guys. You know, I'd just been doing the show, and all of a sudden I'm on the couch. Still getting paid, but not doing the show is just a really weird existence.
Yeah.
I mean, Olsen's saying, hopefully I get to see those guys. And I
still
talk
I'd like to see my guys.
Oh, man. That's brutal. Because he's great. He's truly great.
He's really, really good at this.
Was he the reigning, Texture says, was he the reigning Emmy winner at the time?
Yes.
The reigning Emmy winning broadcaster as a color commentator.
And he deserved it. And now, I mean, look, he's taking care of his family. He's coaching. He's still doing analysis.
Him and Joe Davis is a very good team.
But he's so good at it. And not that Brady's bad. I don't think that he's bad. I think he's gotten past that part. I think he's pretty good. I don't think he's as good as Greg. And maybe that's something that's driving Tom, because anything can drive Tom.
Everything drives Tom. Yeah. Yeah, that's brutal. That's brutal. And Fox should get a lot of hate for that. They have a problem, by the way. That pregame show, that
so much grab ass. There's so much.
It's like 9 people on the set.
I mean, that's okay. So I'm glad you brought this up, because this is a bigger issue for me too. I don't think that there is value to pre and post game pregames outside. I really don't.
At the site of the game?
Yeah, I don't think for post game I get it. Because you can get the person and you're there with them and you can interview them after the game.
I think it's always good on like the Amazon Thursday nights when like the player walks over.
Right, but that's post.
Yeah.
In pregame, there's no value of that crew being cold because the game happens to be in Buffalo or this past weekend.
Like, I'll be honest, I don't watch a lot of pregame.
I do.
I find myself getting distracted. Like, you see, okay, look what this guy's wearing in the cold, and it's like, oh, he's really well put together and thought out, and this guy's just throwing on whatever they give him.
Right.
Look, here's Andrew Whitworth in a hoodie under a jacket. Again, yeah. He's pioneered that look.
He has. And for a big guy like that, I dig
it. He's making it work.
I dig the vibe. But at the NFC title game, someone gave Tom a football, and then all of a sudden, Gronk was snapping the football, and Julian Edelman's there for some reason, and they're like playing catch, and like, guys, this is the NFC Championship game. Like, what are we doing here?
They're playing catch. They're outside.
They're outside.
They're football players.
I just...
Lawrence?
Look, this is one of my issues here, too. Radio shows should be done in radio studios.
Oh, how dare you? We had a good time at the United Center.
We did. But those are the shows that drive me the absolute craziest.
Yeah.
Because there's so much of it that you can't control.
I know.
And you know me.
I know. Yes, I do. But it's exciting, too. Yeah, the performer in you comes out when there's a crowd there. I just think that Fox thing, I think the CBS thing is better. I think they have found a transition to some new guys
who actually
work pretty well. I think Matt Ryan's pretty damn good.
I think he's really good.
And I think the Fox crew, I mean, Jimmy has lost some of the fastball. Terry has lost the fastball a few years back.
I
don't like Gronk. I don't think Gronk is good at television in that studio setting. I don't think he's good at it.
I think there's another way to use Gronk that they haven't tapped into yet. And
making bicycles with balloons?
No. I think there's a way to do it, but I don't think that they've gotten it right yet.
I don't think it's talking. I don't think Gronk talking at a desk, you know? It's just so damn many of them. It's going back and forth. I feel like Howie is still good, but Howie's kind of gotten pushed into the middle and just gets little snippets here and
there. It's so weird because I think Strahan and Howie are really good at their jobs, and I feel like they aren't used as much as they should be. You don't need much. And Kurt does a good job of playing traffic cop, but there's silly stuff. And I, you know, hearing some of the backstory, you understand it better. At halftime, there's no reason that Terry Bradshaw should be reading highlights.
No way.
But I know that as he's been in decline, he's wanted to do it so that he stays engaged. And I totally get that.
And think about the mix. They don't have a quarterback. Without him, they don't have a quarterback. So they know they need a quarterback, and they're still clinging to Bradshaw.
Yeah, but they have another quarterback, and his name is Tom Brady.
I know, but
that to me would be the easy fix to all of this.
That's why they do hologram Brady. They
I don't
do
like that either.
Me neither. They do hologram Brady every once in a while. They haven't found a high profile quarterback that they can have in studio. So they cling to Bradshaw. They don't have a coach other than Jimmy.
Yeah,
they have a collection of players. And so I feel like they would have transitioned away from those guys if they had replacements for those guys.
Yeah, but those guys are out there. You have to find them and develop them. You know, like, you never know who's going to. I think that J.J. Watt's turned into a pretty good.
I agree.
Analyst.
But not a quarterback or a coach. And
that's
true. They've got Howie.
But they've got Cowher and Matt Ryan. Right? They've got a coach and a quarterback.
Right.
And no one would have ever guessed that Nate Burleson would become this.
No, I know. And well, they've got Michael Strahan, who is that for them, a crossover guy, you know?
But Michael Strahan's a Hall of Fame player.
Yes.
Nate Burleson was a decent player that hung on for a while.
Yeah.
You know?
It's true. I just feel like Fox is scrambling around and doesn't know what the next generation even is at this point. And I bet they were hoping that Brady would be their studio guy. That Brady would be the linchpin of studio work moving forward. And then he's like, no, I want to do games. That's my gut feeling on it anyway.
You're probably right. I had no idea Nate was from Canada.
Blame Canada then.
He's like Lance Storm. He's from Calgary, Alberta, Canada.
Didn't know that.
You learn something new every day. I'm looking at that Wikipedia page
every single day.
All right, when we come back, well, I'm glad we got a chance to talk about that. That was fun.
Mm-hmm.
Get out of here, Brady. He's got to go.
Yeah. Stop double dipping.
Too much dip on your chip. We're going to hear from someone that you haven't heard from in a while. Tim Anderson, next on The Score.
Spiegel and Holmes Show Flashback. Fastball, high fly to left. This is not going to get Brzezinski in. Merton, stutter step. He's under it. Makes the catch. Brzezinski tags. Here comes the throw home. It is safe at home plate. Brzezinski knocked over the catcher, Barrett.
Oh.
There's a fight behind home plate. Both benches have emptied. This is going to go on. Barrett punched Brzezinski right in the grill. Now everybody's out, and here come the bullpen.
God, that's such a great call. R.I.P. Ed Farmer.
I miss Ed Farmer every day, man.
Punched him right in the grill. That's exactly what he did.
What a great guy.
Farmio was feeling it right there. Yeah, just a dear, dear man, right?
I know. Would get mad if you didn't come by.
Yeah.
Like, if he had heard that I had been at the Sox game and didn't come to the booth,
yeah.
Oh, was I getting a text message.
And let me tell you, Len Casper, Darren Jackson, and until recently, Connor McKnight, very, very warm
yes.
in the Sox radio booth. Anytime you were by his media and didn't stop by, Len, be like, what's up, man? Come on, come by. Len has that same vibe.
Radio losers.
I try not to bother.
That's the TV side.
I try not to bother those guys, but I always look forward to talking with DJ.
He's the best.
He's a really, really beautiful man.
Really bums me out that we haven't been able to have that guy on, and I haven't been able to have him on Sunday mornings. He's a font of baseball information.
Yeah, we get it, though. Like, this is what happens and all that good stuff.
Sure.
And get McKnight back now.
Yeah, let's do that.
It's great to see Connor.
As long as it's okay with White Sox staff.
Yeah. Congratulations. If you guys didn't hear, Connor is going to be joining CHSN as the White Sox insider, and he's going to be calling some games this year, too.
How the hell do you get a horse from Ireland to here and ready to race?
Well, it's even more interesting than that. They fly them. They put him in a plane.
As always, I must note, that's not more interesting. It's not even more interesting, that fact. But yeah, those are the kind of questions you can expect from Connor McKnight.
2:00, and from the Chicago Wolves Update Studio, I'm Connor McKnight.
Love McDoink. It's my guy. Hopefully we'll get him back over here doing some stuff.
Yeah, I hope so.
I know a baseball show that could use him.
Yeah, for sure.
Would love to talk to him.
Absolutely, as long as it's okay with the White Sox.
I think he'll probably be okay.
All right.
But you never know.
I don't know.
Because then you turn around and then there's someone.
They'd probably let us finish our conversation, I think.
Yeah, they wouldn't
Connor.
Be a jerk about it. They'd let us finish
the
conversation.
They might let us know that they could end the interaction.
Yeah, if they wanted to.
But they wouldn't.
But they wouldn't do that.
No.
Which is why, what was the point of it?
Right.
You're just being a bag.
We might just want to end the interview at that point.
Yeah.
If they made us feel like that.
Yeah. T.A. was on foul territory.
He was. And A.J. Brzezinski asked Tim Anderson about their commonalities, as indicated by the highlight we played on the way in.
I have a serious question, and you can answer this any way you want to answer it. You and I are in a particular club together. Do you know what club that is?
No, what club is that?
We both got freaking punched in the face on national TV, okay?
Yeah.
All right? So we've both been through it, all right? And I've never heard you talk about it, and you don't have to talk about it. I've talked about when it happened with me openly, right? I've signed a million pictures of me getting punched, and people still bring it to me all the time, and I laugh about it, whatever. But did that have anything to do with anything that happened? Because, you know, you can go one of two ways. It can take you down a bad psyche, or it can take you to a good psyche like me. Right. I laughed about it and moved on. I don't know, because I've never really heard you talk about it. Like, did it affect you in any way?
It's not really. I wouldn't even say it's really a whole lot to talk about it. I mean, I wouldn't say I wouldn't go as far as signing pictures. You know.
I understand.
But you know, I was going through for that moment. You know, that was probably created. You know, the energy and the vibes to be able to tap into that energy. But you know, man, moments happen. You know, moments happen, and that's something that we got to live with, and I understand that. But you know, I'm always looking forward. You know, I can't really change what happened. But I did understood a lot of things in that moment throughout that situation, and I understand what love was. I understand, you know, who really is your teammate, who really got your back, who really in your corner. So I could say I understand those in that moment.
So, AJ, I feel you. I was a guy just 2 weeks ago asked you to sign that picture, and he took it with a smile. He was a good sport about it. But how about T.A. with the realness of the answer? And your heart aches for that dude a little bit.
I love T.A. I hope he gets his way back into being the guy that he was. I really do. I hope that he figures out all of the things that he needs to figure out. And I hope that he gets back to being the guy that he was.
Is he your starting shortstop on the all punched in the face during a baseball game team?
I mean,
AJ's at catcher, TA at short. How about Jose Bautista at DH after Rougned Odor's punch? That might be all I have. I think I can only go three deep off the top of my head on baseball players punched in the face.
Robin Ventura.
That was more of a noogie situation.
He was definitely punched in the face.
He was. All right, Robin Ventura at third.
We counting Pedro throwing down Don Zimmer.
Bench coach, Don Zimmer.
How about the father-son duo that beat the crap out of the first base umpire?
The Lagoos.
Let's not do that. Poor Tom Gamboa.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Tom Gamboa, first base coach. This is a team that really needs to come together here. It's terrible. Can we... is there a spot for Rudy Tomjanovich?
That's wow. The whole man's face was broken.
I know. I'm sorry.
It was bad. It was real bad.
It really was. There's no basketball coach on this team.
By the way, if you missed the Charles Tillman interview, a portion of it is going to come back like momentarily. So don't go anywhere. If you missed it, and then there'll be Bulls basketball. For Tanny, for Shane, my partner, Matt Spiegel, I'm Lawrence Holmes saying thank you so much for the love and support you show the show every day. We will try to repay you in kind tomorrow at 2 o'clock. Spiegel and Holmes, let it live!
All right, guys, have a great life.
Have a good show.
Try. What?